This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to stand to your feet. I want to give you our theme verse. I'm going to preach for 4 weeks on the family. And this is the on marriage, on relationships, but this is the theme verse that I'm taking everything from. It says, "And I looked and I rose and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. He's great and awesome." He's great and awesome. In life, we exaggerate things. Would you agree with that? We exaggerate things. I said to Barbara, tomorrow I'm going to wear my orange coat. She said, "Why are you going to wear your orange coat?" I said, "Because Tennessee got a big win in basketball yesterday. They got a big win. And you know, I probably exaggerate Tennessee." We exaggerate things. We exaggerate how smart our children are. But isn't it neat to worship a God that we can't exaggerate how great He is? We can't exaggerate how great He is. And in light of that, He said, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and in your houses. He said, we serve an awesome God. And in light of the fact that we serve an awesome God, we ought to fight for our families. Because we have somebody to fight with us, amen? We have somebody to fight for us. We serve an awesome God. Let's pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. I pray today, God, that you would give your word a free course to travel. Lord, I pray today that you would meet the needs of this hour and anoint us with Pentecostal power. And Jesus, for all you do, we're just going to praise you. For all you do, we're just going to thank you. For all you do, we're just going to bow our unworthy heads and thank you again and again. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about the greatest needs of a husband and wife. A little boy was having a conversation with his father. And he said to his dad, "Dad, did you know that men in Africa marry women and don't know them?" And his father said, "Son, that happens in America too, amen?" I read about a guy that was out by the ocean in California. He enjoyed walking up and down the ocean. And one day he was walking up and down the ocean and a bottle floated up. And he picked that bottle up. And out of that bottle popped a genie. And by the way, this is a true story. The genie popped out of that bottle. And that genie looked at the man and said, "Listen, I'll fulfill one wish. Whatever wish you want, all you've got to do is just make that wish and I'll fulfill it." And that man said, "Well, I've got to be honest with you. I've lived here in California all my life and I wanted to go to Hawaii, but I've never been to Hawaii." He said, "I've always been scared of being on a ship that long. I've always been scared of flying on an airplane." And he said, "What I would really like is a bridge from California to Hawaii." And that genie said, "Well, you got to understand, that would require a lot of logistics, a lot of strategy. That would require a lot of engineering, a lot of draftsmen. That would require a lot of stability. It would require a lot of infrastructure, a lot of concrete." He said, "I just don't know about that." And the genie said to the man, Do you have a second wish? He said, well, I do. He said, I've been married four times. And he said, my second wish is I'd just like to understand women. And the genie said, do you want that bridge two or four lanes? Amen. On a couple occasions here at Rock Springs Church, we've had Bobby Bowden. I listened closely while Coach Bowden was here. He's in heaven now. He was somebody I greatly admired. Coach Bowden made this statement. He said, it would be better for a man to have never been born than to not be born again. It would be better for a man to have never been born than not be born again. But then Coach Bowden made this statement because he was here on his 52nd wedding anniversary. He said these words. He said, I don't care when you get married, what era you live in. There is nothing easy about marriage. You've got to work at it. It truly is work. And I can concur with what Coach Bowden said. Because, see, I believe the marriage that lasts goes through five stages. First of all, it goes through the wonderful stage. I mean, we get married and it's hormone heaven. It's the wonderful stage, amen? But then you go through the war stage. What started out as ideal turned to an ordeal, and then you're looking for a new deal. It's the war stage. But then you get to the third stage, and it's the wonder stage, and you start wondering, I wonder if I made the right decision marrying this cat. And then you get to the fourth stage. It's the work stage. And you understand that the greatest pain in life brings the greatest pleasure. And you realize I've got to work at it. And then lastly, you reach the last stage, and that's the worth it stage. The worth it stage. It was worth it that we stuck in here. It was worth it that we fought for our families. It was worth it that we didn't quit. It was worth it that we didn't give up. It was worth it that we sacrificed and paid the price, no matter how great the price was. Now, I knew I was going to be preaching for 4 or 5 weeks on the family. So I started researching this week in areas that I'd probably never researched before. And I started researching how men and women are different. Even in the creation, I thought about how they were different. I thought about in creation how they were different concerning the place. Let me explain. In Genesis 2:7, this is what God's word says. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Get this, folks. Man came from the dirt. Man came from the dirt. That's why he wants to play in the dirt. He wasn't created in the garden. You got to realize God put man in the garden, but he was created outside of the garden. Wasn't created in the garden. He was created outside. I mean, he was created in a different place. That's why man came from the dirt, and that's why man loves the dirt. He was created differently. Created differently. That's why man will get out of a warm bed and go get in a cold tree. Because he was created outside the garden. I would never say anything offensive to anybody in this room, but I got to be honest with you, folks. That's why men like to urinate outside. Because they weren't created in the garden. They were created outside of the garden. And every real man in this room would say, the preacher's right. The preacher's right. Yeah, he don't mind doing it, but now the woman, she doesn't want to do it because she was created in the garden. Hey, look, it's a different place. But I want you to see something else. Not only a different place, but different parts. Different parts. Genesis 2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and he put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. Understand something. Before the man had a relationship with a woman, he had a relationship with God. You say, Pastor, I'm seeking her. No. You seek him. No. You don't seek her. You seek him. God took him. There was a relationship with God. You say, well, preacher, it wasn't that way with women, was it? Well, let's read the Bible and see what Genesis says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Wait. And he brought her unto the man. She had a relationship with him before she had a relationship with the man. You say, oh, Pastor Benny, I'm seeking the man. No, you don't need to seek the man. You need to seek Jesus. you don't need to seek the man. You need to seek Jesus. You say, well, hey, preacher, I'm down at the singles bar. No. You say, oh, but preacher, down at the singles bar, the odds are good. Yes, but the goods are odd. No. No. You seek a relationship with him. That's the secret to this deal. Now think about it. Adam had named 120 species of animals. He knew exactly those animals. I mean, get real. He gave them the names. He named 120 species of animals. And then the Bible says something in verse 22. It says, and he made a woman. Now look. If you go back in the scripture says he formed man out of the dust of the ground, made him out of the dust, but not woman. The word there, the original word, is he fashioned woman. Whew. He just formed man, but he fashioned woman. What happened, preacher? I know what happened. God created man. He looked him over from head to toe, and he said, I can do better. He formed man, but he fashioned woman. So sometimes when he's complaining about you wanting to shop, you wanting fashion, you say, God made me this way, amen? God made me this way. He fashioned woman. Took a rib. Look what verse 23 says. Adam knew what those animals looked like. He said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You said, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God causes Adam to go into a deep sleep. You read the Bible. I'm just preaching the Bible. And he wakes up and he knew what all those animals looked like. But he wakes up and there is woman standing in front of him. This is the Bible, and she's in her birthday suit. And Adam said, that's what I'm talking about. Now get this. Even in this mixed up culture that we're in, he looked at himself and he looked at woman. He looked at himself and he looked at woman. And even in this mixed up culture that we live in, that's trying to validate and compromise every value, God made men and God made women different. They've got different parts. They've got different parts. They've got different bodies. And it was Almighty God who made them that way. Wait. I see the place. I see the parts. But I want you to see something else. I see the purpose. It's in Genesis 2:18. Look what it says in Genesis 2:18. It's amazing. It says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. By the way, married men live longer than single men. You say, well, it will seem longer. No. Married men live longer than single men. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a help meet for him. Now, here's what I mean. Why does it the Bible say, I'll make a help mate for him? Why is it the word meet? It's the Hebrew word Nezer, from which we get the word Ebenezer. It means to build with divine help. It means to build with divine help. God brings a man and woman together to build a family with divine help. See, understand something. A man can't be everything God intends for him to be without his wife, because God gave him a help meet. Proverbs 31 talks about that husband. It talks about the man. Look what it says. He's known in the gates. He's a man of influence. He's a man of impact. He's a man of integrity. He sitteth among the elders of the land. He's a leader. How, Pastor? Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of our life. God brings a man. God brings a woman together, not just to come together. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. God's got a ministry. It's a kingdom connection. God brought you all together, not just so you can go on a cruise. That's fine if you go, but God brought you together for the kingdom. Now wait. I'm going to make some statements, and I'll get into the message. You're thinking, what is this? But that, listen, I'll make some statements, I'll get into the message. Men and women are different. I don't care what our secular media says. I don't care what the secular media says. Men and women are different. They're different physically. A man has more blood in his body. A woman has a stronger immune system. That's why the national average, she's going to live about 8 years longer than you are. She's going to live about 8 years longer than you are by the national average. Look here, it's proven, it's data. It's easier for a man to lose weight than it is for a woman to lose weight. Now get this, it's easier for a woman to gain weight than it is for a man to gain weight. And here's what I would say to you men. Folks, what I'm dealing with right now, you never need to discuss in your house. Just never touch it. Here's documented. Men have thicker skulls than women. Medical research says men have thicker skulls than the women said. Amen. We're different physically. We're different relationally. A woman will pick up a magazine. What article is a woman reading in that magazine? How to develop intimacy in your marriage. What's a woman reading in a magazine? How to have more romance in your home. What's a man reading in a magazine? How to get better gas mileage in your truck. When a woman goes to that closet, and that woman says in that closet, I have nothing to wear. That's code for I have nothing new. When that man goes to that closet and he says, I have nothing to wear, that means he has nothing clean. We're different. Men are motivated by sight. Men are motivated by sight. I mean, they just take the right look and they're a helicopter, ready to pop up and take off, amen? Now, a woman, she's a 747. You say, what do you mean, preacher? She needs a long, long, long runway. Men are kind of like a microwave. Women, more like a crock pot. I've studied this, folks. I've given my life to studying this. Barbara and I would go out with couples, and I would see that lady saying to Barbara, saying to that lady, you want to go to the restroom? And we'd be somewhere eating. They'd go off to the restroom. I can't imagine some man looking at me and saying, you don't go to the restroom? Hey, we're going to be like Jesus if he does. That's our last supper. Amen. I can tell you. I mean, God made us different. Lady can have four or five purses, and she said, you know, I think with spring coming on, I'm going to get me a new springy purse. Can you imagine saying to a man, well, spring's coming on, I think I'll get a new wallet. Just doesn't happen. Look, we're different relationally, but look, folks, we're different emotionally. We're different emotionally. I researched and I found out that during a pregnancy, during the 16th to the 26th week of a woman's pregnancy, if she's carrying a little boy, there's a chemical reaction that happens with her. The right side of that little boy's brain slows down in developing. Every woman here said, I already knew men were brain damaged, but the right side of that brain, it slows down in developing. See, from that right side is where the emotion comes from. It doesn't happen in women. It doesn't happen. It keeps on developing. That's why, for the most part, they're going to be more emotional. And the men, the left side keeps developing, and that's where the logic comes from. So many times they'll want to fix things. Here's the four steps to fixing this. Somebody said there's two ways to handle women. Unfortunately, nobody knows what they are. True story, you know, the big preacher. I shouldn't say the big preacher. He is big. He's known all over the world. John Hagee. I remember one time I was in John Hagee's office, and I was talking to Hagee, and we was cracking some jokes, and John Hagee said to me, he said, Preacher, Brother Benny, he said, do you know the difference between a Doberman pincher and a woman with PMS? I said, Dr. Hagee, I don't. He said, lipstick, amen. Now get this. The Department of Psychology at the University of Washington has a doctor by the name of Dr. John Gottman. Dr. John Gottman researched 2,000 couples. Now listen closely. 2,000 couples that had been married 20 years. That's a lot of research. 2,000 couples that had been married 20 to 40 years. It was a 20-year study, by the way. And he found the greatest need of a man, and he found the greatest need of a woman. The greatest need of a wife is to be loved. I could have saved him a lot of time. All he had to do is read Ephesians 5:33. And it teaches us that the greatest need of a woman is to be loved. Men, love your wife. And then he goes on to say, the greatest need of a husband, they found out, is to be respected. To be respected. I could have told them, if you'll just read Ephesians 5:33, you'll get that. The third statement I want to make is this. Husbands are commanded to unconditionally love their wives. Husbands are commanded to unconditionally love their wives. See, when you read the Bible and you see the word love, there are four words in the Greek for love, and the New Testament was written in Greek. There's eros. It's a sexual love. There's philo, from we get the word Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. There's storage. It's parental love. But then the word that's used for husbands to love their wives is the word agape. Agape means to love like God. It means to unconditionally love your wives. See, look here. Women get this love issue. Men don't. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's why Ephesians 5:28 says, so ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. It's saying, husbands, unconditionally love your wife. Women get it. I can prove it. Go somewhere today where they're buying, selling greeting cards. Just go today and start opening up those greeting cards. I love, I love, I love. Now, why do the manufacturers do that? Because they understand men don't buy them. Women do. And they know what appeals to women is love. Love. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't have that loving feeling anymore. Well, to quote the infamous Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. I want to lay some foundation. I want you to understand something. Love's not a feeling. Has nothing to do with feeling. You can't command somebody to feel a certain way. How can the Bible command you to feel a certain way? There's no. Love's not a feeling. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love's not something you feel. Love's something you do. I can prove it. 1 Corinthians 13, look what it says. Love suffers long. Love's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Look, love's not something you feel, folks. Love's something you do. Men will walk in the office and say, Preacher, I need to tell you something. I said, okay. I just don't love her anymore. What advice do you give them, Preacher? Go home and love her. Go home and love her. Because it's not a feeling anyway. Love something that you do. Love something that you do. Now get this. You say, oh, the women said this is good preaching. Husbands are to love us unconditionally. And then wait. Wives are commanded to unconditionally respect their husbands. Wait. Ephesians 5:32 just says reverence him. Where do you get this unconditionally, preacher? Well, look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Wait. That if any obey not the word, what does that mean? They're as lost as last year's Easter egg. He's lost. He's not a godly man in any capacity. That they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Wait. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. I'm going to unconditionally respect you because you're my husband. It's not hard for a respected husband to love a wife. And it's not hard for a wife that's loved to respect her husband. Bob Record is a good friend of mine. They do marriage conferences. Bob and Cheryl, and he said, Pastor Benny, we do marriage conferences and we go into all kind of places. And he said, there's one time during the conference that Cheryl comes to the platform and she's got the couples. They're sitting right beside each other. And she says to the men, close your eyes. And she said, when the men close their eyes, we ask the men in the room, your wife can make one statement to you. She can only make one. She can say to you, I love you. I want you to know I love you. Or she can say to you, I want you to know I respect you. And then she says, how many of you men had rather your wife say, I respect you? And over 90% of the men's hands would go in the air. because women respond to love, but men respond to respect. You said, well, wait, preacher, what about Aretha Franklin? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I don't know if you know this, but she didn't write the song. A man wrote the song. His name was Otis Redding. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Now, it wasn't a woman. It was a man. Because the greatest need a man has is the need to be respected. Now, the next 2 weeks, I'm almost done. The next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about how husbands, practical ways you can love your wife and make her feel loved. Because that's what she needs. She needs the security of knowing you love her. And I'm going to talk about how women can respect their husbands and make them feel respected. There won't be nobody here that week, but anyway, I'm going to talk about it. The times that divorce is most likely between the first and second year. The second time that divorce is most likely is between the fifth and eighth year. The third time that divorce is most likely is after 20 years when the children are gone, because the whole life has been into the child and not into each other. Here's all I'm trying to say. It matters not what year you're in, you've still got to fight for your marriage. Look, folks, I'm not here picking on people. You said, preacher, I'm in my third marriage. Look, I want to just show you something where you can really get balanced. The stepfather who paid my way through Bible college. I wouldn't be here today without this man. His name was Don Mason. Mama was his fourth marriage. God uses people that are in their third marriage. God uses people that are in their fourth marriage. We just got to fight for the marriage we're in. We got to fight for the marriage we're in. Preacher, who's your favorite preacher? His name was Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers said, when you get married, you get on the matrimonial airplane. He said, the first thing you need to do is throw away the parachute. You're on the matrimonial airplane, just throw that parachute away. Divorce is not going to be a part of our vocabulary. Murder is, divorce is not. I mean, we're going. Hey, I've got good news. I've got good news for every one of you. Did you know there's a 74% success rate in marriage if a husband and wife will come to church together on Sunday? And you're here today. There's a 74% success rate. You say, well, now wait, Preacher Benny, sometimes I don't want to come. Me too. But everything good for me, I have to push through because it's what I need. Everything good for me, I got to push through. I didn't want to go to the gym this morning about 5 o'clock. And it's obvious I'm not lifting weights. But I'm trying to take care of the cardio. Everything good for me. If I had my way, you know what a balanced diet would be? A hamburger in each hand. Amen. Everything good for me. You got to push through. So, well, I really didn't want to go. Well, get up and come anyway, Vern. Get up and come anyway. I promise you it will help you. Now this, lastly. You say, well, he's preacher's right. We need to go to church. Well, let me tell you this. Only one out of every 1,500 marriages end in divorce. Look here. That means 1,499 out of 1,500 are making it if they do something each day. If the husband and wife pray together every day. You say, well, Brother Benny, I know you and Miss Barbara. Well, listen, we pray, but I don't want to deceive you in any way. We're not in sackcloth and ashes. But we pray a prayer together, a brief prayer together. This is your needs. This are my needs. Let's pray together. It makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. We're going to spend this month. You don't want to miss a Sunday. You get him here. You get her here. It'll change our families. Somebody said the church is out of order. The only reason our churches are out of order, folks, is because our homes are out of order. We get the home right, the church will be right. We get the home right, the church will be right. There's not many problems in America that won't be resolved if men will stand up and simply be the men that they need to be. There's not many problems in America that won't be resolved if men will just stand up and be the men they need to be.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.